Good luck, everybody. We're on the Chavez Amar Aleph. At the Mishnah Halacha 3. Hamafresh Chalasei Kemach. If someone is mafresh chalot while he has kemach, he has a flour. He takes like, let's say he has 24 kav of flour, and he takes off 1/24, which would be a kav, and he gives it to the kohen. Okay, he takes a kav of what's his name? A kav of flour and gives it to the kohen. So it's enough challah, that's no good. It says in Pasuk, Reishis Ariso Sechem, it has to be in a state of dough in order to be chayav of challah, otherwise, so it's not challah. The gazel biyad kohen, it's the kohen can't keep it. Because, I mean, when you read the Mishnah Pashtus, I'm going to get a little lumdish over here because...
Are you hearing like some kind of feedback or something?
Yeah, I'm afraid everyone needs to mute their machines because we're getting feedback. If you can, please mute your machines. That would be greatly appreciated. Thank you. Okay, so it says it's gezel biyad kohen. If the kohen were to keep this flour, it would be considered gezel. Now, this is actually a pretty big chiddush. The Gemara in Kiddushin talks about this Mishnah at length. There's a machlokes Rav Shmuel over there by how mekadesh achoisai. Someone gives a kiddushin to his sister. Now the Gemara says over there, adam yodea she'ein kiddushin la'achoisai. Everybody knows you can't marry your sister. And therefore Shmuel says gomar v'nosanai l'shem matana. It's therefore considered a matana. So she can keep whatever I gave her l'shem kiddushin. She can keep it. And Rav says, no, it's not a matana, it's a pikadon. Because the Gemara discusses at length Shmuel's shita, and the Gemara asks a kasha from him on him from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that if you give a kohen challah in a state of kemach, that it is not challah, and it's gezel biyad kohen. So the Gemara asks a kasha on Shmuel. He says, why don't you say the same thing? Let's say everybody knows that there is no challah from kemach. Everybody knows you got to have dough to be chayav on challah. And therefore, when I give it to the kohen, it was l'shem matana. So the Gemara answers this question. Okay, and the Gemara is going to answer. The Gemara says that we're afraid that there's a chash here. Let me just take a quick look over here at the page. Take a look at Mara Fulda, the second line. Gazel biyad kohen. Look at what the Mara Fulda says. But before you look at the Mara Fulda, what would you think gazel biyad kohen is? The simple shot would be that it's gazel biyad kohen because since I gave it to him l'shem challah, and it ended up not being challah, so it's a toast. It's a matanah toast. So just like any mekach toast, you have to return it because it was a mistake. So here too, it should be a mistake. So that's what you would think. So Mara Fulda, though, adds something additional here. Look what he writes. He says, Gezel biyad kohen, v'tzorach lahachzir labam, you have to return it to the owner. She'im nisharu biyado yasavar she'isaso patura. Because if we're going to leave the kemach in the reshus of the kohen, he is going to think, meaning let's assume that it's referring to the original owner, he's going to think that his Isa is pater from challah. Because the kohen kept it. And so it must be that it's pater from challah. Well, it has both ways. Maybe the kohen will think his Isa is pater from challah. Whatever it is, someone's going to think their Isa is pater from challah. So therefore, the Gemara says that it's not just a simple, it's gezel biyad kohen because it was a mistake. The Gemara... Okay, I've got Debbie on here twice. I think you joined on your phone also, David. You're on here as David, you're on here as Debbie. Okay, whatever. I'll go on to next. So let's go on. And the dough itself, that is to say, from the rest of the flour. In other words, I gave the Kohen, like I just said in my example, I gave him one kav of flour. And now he returned, what about the first 23 that I kept? So that's also chayvim kala, which in and of itself doesn't sound like a chiddush. Of course it is. If it wasn't kala of the first kav that I gave, then of course the rest of it's still chayvim kala. So there the mefarshim say pshatim over here. I'm not going to get into it right now. We don't have time. Vahakamach, and what about the flour that was given to the kohen? So it's like this. So you have to remember, the kemach, when we say it's gezel b'yad kohen, that it's gezel, so it says here in the footnote, I think it's 3, that the kohen has to return it to him, right? And then the owner, okay, it's going to say in a second. I'm jumping the gun a little bit. It's the next line. But first, the Gemara says, "Hakemach and the flour that was given to the Kohen, imyeshbo kashir, if it has the shear of kala, means it has 5/4 of a kav. Let's suppose it was more. I gave him, I had more than 24 kavin of flour. Suppose I had 30 kavin of flour, and I gave him 1/24 of that, which is more than a kav and a quarter kav. So the amount of flour that I gave him itself was chayim and kala if it were to be made into a dough." So then chayav es v'chala. If the kohen made it into a dough, he's going to be chayav v'chala. But not only that, asura lezorim. Asura lezorim means that the whole amount that I gave the kohen as flour for chala is completely asur midrabbanon for a zar to eat. Because we don't want someone to say, in other words, what should be the thing? You should say, it's not chala. And therefore, the Kohen, if he makes it into a dough and then takes off 1/24 of whatever he was given and puts it aside for challah, and the rest of it he gives out to eat to a czar. So people are going to say, look at that. A czar is eating challah because I saw that this Reuven gave Aaron all this flour for challah. Then he made a dough, and then this guy Reuven came and ate some of that dough. So I see that a czar can eat challah. So therefore, the Rabbanim made a gzeira, even though it's not legally challah, but they made a gzeira. You're not allowed to eat, a zara is not allowed to eat any of that flour that was given betos to the kohen. Okay? Divrei Rabbi Yeshua. So that's Rabbi Yeshua Shita. Amuloi, so they said, the Chacham said to him, that it's not true. Maisa ukufasa zaken zar. That there was a story where there was this old Torah scholar, and he was a czar, means he was a non-Kohen, and he grabbed it from the Kohen, meaning he grabbed, let's say, it was the same case that we were just talking about, that somebody gave him flour as challah. The Kohen made it into a dough. He was then mafresh challah from that dough, and the remainder of the dough, even though the Mishnah said, according to Rabbi Elazar, he said, according to Rabbi Yeshua, it was also to the czar. But they're saying, no, this Zokin went ahead and grabbed the rest of the dough from the Kohen, and he ate it. So you see what? You see, it's mutter for a person to eat it. So then my answers are more lahan. He says a very interesting answer, Rabbi Yeshua. Avhu kilkel atzmai v'tikin lacher. That he made a problem for himself. That Torah scholar ruined it for himself, and he made it. He improved it for others. What does it mean? What does that mean? He improved it for others. So, the Gemara is going to talk about this at length, but I'm just going to say it right now. You know, one of the ways of learning this Mishnah is very interesting, which is that for other people. The other people, if they go ahead and they think that this is mutter, because they saw their local Talmid Chacham go ahead and eat it, and they say, I'm going to rely on him, right? I saw Rabbi Moshe Feinstein go ahead and eat it, so if it's good enough for Rabbi Moshe, it's good enough for me. You know, like that kind of an attitude. So it's a tikkun for them. Why is it a tikkun for them? Because David, could you please mute your machine, because we're getting feedback from your machine. You're the only machine that's on there. Thank you. The reason why is because they have on whom to rely. In other words, I have a chacham to rely on. Reb Moshe is a chacham. He's a posek. I'm just using Reb Moshe at random, of course. Any chacham, Zokin, you know, he was an old Talmud chacham. And we could say, if he ate the rest of it, obviously it's mutter. So they think it's mutter. So Mamela, if they go ahead and they eat it, even though if they eat it, they're talking about making a mistake. So they speak out that that this is a famous nesivus. There's a famous nesivus that says that whenever you're over b'shoigeg on an isidr abonon, you don't have to do tshuva. Because what's the mitzvah to listen to the achon? The mitzvah is a chayva on the gavra. So if I'm a shogeg, I don't realize that I have this obligation to listen to the chacham, because I didn't realize they told me to do anything. I thought that this is 100% mutter. So the heftze itself is not a heftze shali surah, because it's plain flour. It had the challah already removed from it by the kohen. So the rest of it is only a nesidur rabbanan. So mele, if they eat it, it's a shogeg. If it's for shogeg, like that in the nesivus, they don't have to do tshuva. That's what the Mishnah means. Tikein la'acherim, that for himself it was a kilkel because he was over on the isidur rabbanan, but for other people looking on, they'll be sonvach on the nesivus and b'shogeg. If you're over on the rabbanan, you don't have to do shuva. So it's a tikkun. It's a gevaldik upshot over here that they say on the bottom. Okay. That's as far as I go over here on this. Chameishas roim kamachayon b'chal. So we have the shear of 5/4 of a kav. That's a kav and a fourth. We've been saying that all along. Hain, usa, iron, their sourdough, subon, and mursanon, the fine brand, the coarse brand. In other words, when you make flour, and you don't, let's suppose you haven't made it into a fine flour, it still has the bran in it. So the bran is interspersed there naturally as part of the process, and it's all adds up to the 5/4. But, nital mursanon, if I put it through a sifter and I took out the coarse bran, and after I took out the coarse bran, I'm left with less than five quarters of a cup, right, of flour. And now I take my cup of coarse bran that I just sifted out of it, and I pour it back in, right? You decide, you know what, I want to have the mitzvah of challah. Let me add back in the coarse bran, so I'll be back up to the 5/4 of a cup. Doesn't work. That's not the way you make challah. So therefore, since putting in this coarse bran as a separate ingredient is not the way you make challah, so therefore it doesn't count towards the shear. So if you leave it in its natural state, you're chayav. If you sifted it and then added it, you're not chayav. Very important halacha. Shear ha-challah, now the minimum measure is 1/24. When is this true? If he makes it for himself, if he makes it for a party. In other words, regardless of whether you're making it for your own meal, which is just one challah, or you're making a lot of challahs, you're making for your friend, for your son's wedding, so you have enough food here for 300 people, it doesn't matter. It's, since you are an individual, the share is 1/24. Now, if you're a nachdom, if you're a baker, you're making it to sell, even a private person who makes challah to sell in the market, she only has to take off 1/48. Right? 1/48. Now we're on Amud Beis, Kaf Beis Amud Beis. Nit Meisi Sosa. So if her Isa became Tomei, one of the stories they make up over here is like by Sari Menu when she was entertaining the Malachim. So it says over there she was Pirsonida, that while she was, you know, she was given the Basura that she's going to have a child, and she started having Orach Kanoshim again, and while she was preparing the Isa, it became Tomei. So it Shogegas Anusa, she wasn't doing that on purpose. She wasn't Matami the Isa on purpose. It just happened by accident. Echad Me'avam Meshmoinas. And then, because she's not going to be able to eat the challah that she's going to take off from the dough anyway, it's also by achila because it's tomei. So there, the chazal changed the shear. These shiurim are not the oraisa. Rambam says that min ha-Torah, it's just like truma, that even sa'ora achas, even one barley, a small amount, could pater an isa from chala. The chachamim came along and made a shiur. It's just like truma, which was, you know, a kol shehu, and the chachamim came and said 40th, 50th, or 60th. Here too, the 124th, the 148th, those are the rabbanon shiurim. So since this is tamei chala, and she wasn't matamei on purpose, so therefore we allow her to go to the smaller share of 148th. But nis meis mezida, if she was matamei on purpose, echad me'asrim v'arba, then it's 124th. Today we're going to leave it at the regular share. Kedei shlohei chaitin iskar. We don't want this chait that she did. She transgressed and she made a tamei, and we don't allow that. So therefore, it is what? It's going to stay 24th. Even though it's not going to end up being eaten. Rabbi Eliezer Eimer. Okay, now we're going to another thing. Oh, the Mishnah above said that you can't separate challah from tahar for tameh. Now we have a dissenting opinion. That's Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says, no, it is possible. Remember, we said the reason. I'll just repeat it in case you don't remember. Why can't you take min ha-tahar ala tamei? Because the Chazal were afraid you're going to take it shalom and ha-mokuf. So here we're going to have Rabbi Eliezer who's going to argue because he has an eitzah how to do it in a way in which the mukuf problem is not a problem. You tell us min ha-tahar ala tamei, you could do it. Keitzan, how do you do it? Isa tahar v'isa tamei. You have two doughs, one's tahar, one's tamei. Noitel k'nei chala, you take out an amount of challah for both isos from the tahar pile, and me'isa shalom v'chalasa. V'noisim pachas mikav beitz v'amsa. Then you take off. There's two ways to learn this. We're going to learn first the push-up shot, which is you take off less than a kabeitza from the tamei pile, and you put that as a bridge. You make like a little bridge that you run like a little round track that's thin and let's say make it like, you know, 6 inches long. And so you have on your table, you have a little kazayas of dough, which has been rolled out like a little thin cigar. And then you put the tomei dough on one end of the cigar. You put the tahar dough on the other end of the cigar. And the cigar connects the two doughs together. Because the cigar is less than a kibetza, so therefore, less than a kibetza is not metame other things. It can become tame, but it's not metame other things. So therefore, even though the big pile of toma, the big isa of toma isa is on one end of the cigar, but the cigar can't transmit that toma because it's less than a kibetza. Okay? Others say that the pshat is the amount that you take. The Mishnah doesn't say the word that you take off from the tomei pile to make this little track, or from the tar. So it's a machlokes mefarshim, a machlokes rishonim, what it means. Some say that takim is referring to taking off from the tar, and you put that as the track. Okay. It gets more complicated if you learn that way, because you have to explain why doesn't the tahar become tomei. It does become tomei from the Esau. If the isa is a rishon, it will make the cigar a sheni, and then the sheni is not going to make a shlishi because there's no shlishi by truma. There's only shlishi by kodshim. There's no shlishi by chulin. There is shlishi by truma. Let me clarify that again. So if you have a rishon, it makes a sheni tame even by chulin. If you have a sheni, it does not make a shlishi by chulin, but it does make a shlishi by truma. If you have a shlishi of truma, it does not make a revi by truma, but it makes a revi by kodshim. That's the rule. So, following along, if a woman was personida, she's aviyah, well, it's a toma, right? She makes, and she's making isa, the isa becomes a rishon l'toma. The rishon will then be matame. If I made a cigar out of isa tahira, then the isa tahira will become what? It would become tomei, as because even less than a kibetza is makabal toma, and it will become a sheni. Now, the sheni because the tar dough is chulin, would not make metamiyat, so therefore you're in the clear. Okay, that's according to those mafarshim. It gets a little more complicated. Anyway, there's two ways to learn this. So now, noisim pachas mukav beitzim hamsa. He's putting kadeshi yitumun amukav. So that way, he's taking min amukav means he can take challah from which was in close proximity for both those. And it says here in the English that this is accomplished. This is an important English add-on to the Mishnah. So on the bottom of 22b. Actually, I don't know whether it's the bottom of 22b because I don't have. It's not the bottom. It's on 22b, right after footnote 11. And it says in the English, this is accomplished by placing the first piece that he had taken, that is to say, the first piece of challah dough that he had taken off of the tahar dough, so that it would be challah for both doughs. He takes that and he puts it on top of the bridge. Okay, so by putting, and he declares it challah. So it makes sense if we're talking about where the challah bridge was tameh all along, and it's less, what he's doing is he's taken it off of the tameh group. And since he's taken it off the tameh group, it's considered like it's a separate entity. It's not considered like it's part of the original. So since it's separate, so it's not metame. Again, it's parkas mikabetsa, so it's not metame. Therefore, you could put the challah, which is tar, right on the bridge, and that's considered min hamukaf because it's right next to both doughs, right? You've got the dough on the end, that's tar, the dough on the other end, which is tame. You have this little bridge, and then you have the challah right by emsa in the middle, and therefore it'll be min hamukaf. That's Rabbi Lazar's. Excuse me. That's Rabbi Lazar's Eitza. How to be noitel chalam and amuka from atahar ala tome. Okay. Any questions about this? This is probably the most complicated part of the whole daf. Okay. We clear on this? Okay. The chachamim osrim. The chachamim don't allow this. They feel this is too complicated. And people are going to mess it up. Yeah, go ahead, David. It's not sounding right. Your voice doesn't sound right.
You sound like Mickey Mouse.
Lo oved. Ze lo oved. David, I suggest you mute your machine and we'll go on. You can send us a chat message in the WhatsApp. If you have a question, you could put a voicemail in there. Okay, next. So that's the end of the Mishnah. So the Gemara is going to, well, let's go to the Gemara now. The sages said, what? The challah flour could not be forbidden to non-Kohanim. The challah flour could not be forbidden to non-Kohanim because a prominent scholar who was a non-Kohanim had once eaten it. So they quote Rabbi Yeshua's response. Amalahen, afhu kilkela atzmo, the tikein la'acherim. He made a tikkun for others. Kilkela atzmo, how did he ruin it for himself? He ate it, and he's going to be punished. And he was masakin for other people, like I explained to you earlier, because they're going to eat it and blame him to avoid punishment. I always said, you know, like if I ate something under hashgacha, and you tell me, oh, that mashgiach doesn't know his stuff, I could say, what do I care? As long as he says it's kosher, I don't get punished because he said it was kosher. That's what I have to worry about it, right? That's what we used to say when we were kids. So this might be a little riot to that idea. They're toiling at him. According to the way we explained the Nesivus, it's only going to work if it's a drabbanon. It doesn't work by deraisa. So, you know, if someone is being fed tarfus, it's not going to work. Is Tony Tony? There are those who teach in a raisa. I remember there were those. You know, Nebuch, when there was a few meisim with, I don't know if I can mention where it took place, but there was a meisim with butchers that was found to be selling trey for chickens. So people were very upset about it. And I remember there was some rabbanim that said, you don't have to worry about it because you thought you were eating kosher. There's nothing for you to worry about. There's no tain on you whatsoever. It's not 100% true. You don't have to worry about it in terms of you're an onus rachmana patre, but it's still this the way we're explaining this. It's only tikkun for acherim if it's a shogegan and derabbanon, but not necessarily if it was a deraisa. It's something to think about. I'm not making the statements one way or the other. Is tani tikkun laatzmoi v'kilka lacherim? Some people say the opposite. He improved it for himself. Why? How does that work? And it was a kilka v'kilka. How does that work out? Tikkun laatzmoi mikomoka v'kilka. Because in any event, he ate it, so he got his stomach was full. He ruined it for others. The inansavim made mid hiptura. They thought that the dough was made from challah flour, which is exempt from challah. But in reality, it's subject to the challah obligation when it has the minimum measure. So once they did an investigation and they found out what it really was, so then it becomes a problem. Yeah. Yeah. In the box. B, I think it's really, he quotes from the Gra. It's a little bit better. I think it makes a little bit more sense here. He says, he changes the text like this. He says, Tikkun lacherim, he improved the matter for others. The inner nachlam was mekonim, because now they eat only eat food from which scholars are properly designated. Before the Torah scholar acted, people used to separate challah from flour and proceed to knead the remaining flour into a dough and bake and eat it, because they mistakenly thought that the challah designation was effective. Once the Torah scholar ate some of the pseudo challah that was separated from the flour, the people realized that this type of challah designation was actually not effective. So they reasoned correctly that since the Torah scholar was not a Kohen, if the challah had been valid, he would not have eaten it. So he ruined it for himself because he violated the rabbinic prohibition. He was punished, but he proved it for others because now they learned from his transgression, how not to behave in the future. So, the Shnos Eliyahu, it says over here in the manuscript, said that the Torah scholar actually knew that it was forbidden, but he felt it was better for him to be over on an Isser Kal rather than have other people be over on an Isser Chomer. There's such a svara to say that. So he sacrificed his own Olam Haba for the sake of the Tzibur. Very interesting idea. You know, that's the Ramban. You remember the Ramban? In Moshe Rabbeinu, when he says, I'll mute him. I can do it. There you go. You're done, David. You're out. It's no good. Is something wrong with your machine? Okay. Next. Let's go further. We're at the bottom of the page now. The Mishnah says, Ravimi b'shem Rabbanai kav tivni chai b'chala. So now, this is just this is a little different over here. We said 5/4 of a kav is chayv in challah. So all the Gemara is saying here is, if you had a kav in Tveria had a change in their measurements so that one kav of Tveria, a Tveria kav, is equal 5/4 of a kav everywhere else. Obviously, one kav is enough to be chayv in challah in Tveria. I don't know why they have a different measure over there, but they do. Now, there's a story here. Chad Chaliter. There was a baker. Shaul Rabbi Yochanan, he asked Rabbi Yochanan a shaila. Now, it says here he was making scalded flour. Remember, we had a whole thing with scalded flour. Mi'isah and Chalata, we explained the difference. So, there was a machlokes, tanoim, whether Bishamay holds your potter, and Bishol holds your chayev, or Bishol holds your chayev, and Bishamay holds your potter. It was a shiloh, tutanoim, Alibi the Bishan Bisil had two different shitas. So he wanted to know from Rabbi Yochanan, how can I go ahead and make, how should I behave regarding challah in my new bakery? So Omar, so Rabbi Yochanan said, Ezel Ovid Arbo Pli. He was Mesupik, he wasn't sure. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan gave him eitzah to make it, make doughs of 4.5 revoim each. Okay, so in other words, normally we say 5/4 of a kav, 5/4 kavs is chayav mechallah. See, he's saying don't make 5/4, make 4.5. So instead of 5, it's 4.5. That's 1/2 less than what you need to be chayav mechallah, and you'll avoid making challah altogether. So you don't have to worry about it. Now we're on 23. The Sefrek de Gemara, V'yei Malay Klaso Plague. Why did he tell him? Rabbi Yochanan, remember, lived in Tveria. So if he's going to say 4.25, let's say, right? I'm sorry, 4.5. So that's over the limit. Because four quarters of a kav in Tveria is already chayav mechallah. So if you're all everywhere else in the world, it makes sense because 5/4 of a kav is chayav mechallah. If you give 4 and 1, let's see, half of a fourth is an eighth, right? So if you say 4 and 1/8 is if you want to avoid challah everywhere else, that would make sense. But to say 4 and 1/8 in Tveria, you're going to be chayav. So what's going on over here? It's very clear, by the way, from here that Rabbi Yochanan was in Tveria. Amar Rabbi Zeira, so he said, no, Kabay Basri and Ruvai is Daron. The calves in the place where the baker was, they were using the Ruvoyim measurements. They would use neither the calf of Tzipori nor the calf of Tiberias in that locale, but they would measure using only Ruvoyim. Wherever Revoim are used as a standard measurement, it's the Tziporian Revoim. So he accurately told him 4.5 Revoim. The Yomalei Chamsha Par Tzivchar, why didn't he tell him just make 5/4 of a kav less a little bit? He didn't have to go all the way down a half or an eighth, the way I'm saying it. So the Marseh Shalai Yavli Dei Savakiv Chal. He just wanted to be careful. He didn't want to have him get close to the measurement. That in the Mishnah says it's talking about the normal way of making dough. So his Gemara is going on the case of the bran. That the reason why, if you take bran out and then put the bran back in, why is it potter from challah? The answer is it's not normal. The only time you're chayav in challah if its dough is made in the regular way. So Shimon Lakish says, I argue with you, Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was basically saying, it says, Reishis Adriso Seichem. Torah says that you have to take challah from your dough, but if you make your dough in an abnormal way, you're not chayav. So Rish Lakish says, no, I have a specific Tana that our Tana is coming out like. And he tells us who it is. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Lo'ilom anachayim esu challah, and shehim badogin kishir. That if you have a species, right, talking about, let's suppose you have challah together with rice, okay? And you have less than 5/4 5/4 revoim. You have 5 revoim. You have less than that of the wheat, but you have the balance you have of rice, okay? So you have rice and wheat together. So even though the total amount of the dough exceeds the 5 revoim, the dough is still not subject to challah because it doesn't have the 5 revoim of challah obligated flour. So that is what Reb Shimon Gamliel said. So Reb Shimon Gamliel, in other words, we mentioned this idea that if you have rice together with wheat, that there's a din of gera, that it rises just like the wheat, and therefore you will be chayav in such a dough. But Reb Shimon Gamliel disagrees. He holds you have to have the shear of the dough in itself. The rice will not be mitzdarif. So Rish Lakish is saying that our Mishnah that says that if you take out the bran, right, and put it back in, that it's not going to be good, is coming out like this shita because bran by itself is not chayav mechallah. That's not food. Right? I believe that's what he's saying, right? Grain that has removed from the flour is considered as a different species of grain that is not challah obligated. That's right. It's not considered wheat. It's bran. Okay? So as long, in footnote 10, as long as the bran is not removed, it's considered part of the flour. But once the person removes it, it attains a separate identity. That's the point. So if you have a separate identity of bran, and you take that bran and then put it back into the dough, so you're not going to be chayev. Okay? But that's going to be only according to Rav Shimon Gamliel. That's what Rish Lakish says. But according to the Chacham, you'll be chayev because they hold of Greira. So just like we say Greira by rice, so too we'll say Greira by the bran. That's what Rish Lakish is. So according to Rav Yochanan, there's a big difference between Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish. According to Rav Yochanan, it's because it's not made the way dough is normally made, and therefore it's pater from Reishis Hariso Sefer. And that's L'Divrei HaKol, it comes out like everybody, both Rav Shimon and Leo, and like the Chacham. According to Rish Lakish, it's only coming out like Rav Shimon and Leo. Then the Gemara says, Talmid Doid Rav Chiyo Ruba Bar Luliso, B'Shem Rav Yerushalmi Levi, that the Talmidim held, what? L'Divrei HaKol. They held that it's coming out like everybody, meaning that they agree with Rav Yochanan's approach. Even though he did not say something explicitly, but he said in accordance with a non-explicit manner of Rav Yochanan, like Rav Yochanan said, that they taught the Mishnah is included, that the ingredients included in the normal way of making dough is counts the Khan Kimishinto Mursonan because of the soikon aids at Darakisa, that since it was taken out and then was put back in, and that's not the way normal dough is made, consequently the dough is in this case not subject to challah. That explanation is the way we explain the quantum Yakanon. And it's the Tanakama, even not just if you are Shem Gamliel. Now we're called Gimel on the base. The Mishnah says that the minimum measure of challah is 1/24. For a commercial baker, it's 48. The Gemara is going to ask a question.
You want to stop the recording?
No. It's a very short daf. I don't really care. I don't think anyone's listening to it anyway. Tony, Amar Yehuda, Nema Amar Baal Bayis Echad Be'esim Rabba. Why does Baal Bayis say it's 1/24? So, why is the baker at 48th? It should be Eino Raw Bisaso. He changes the Girsa. That he has his eye is stingy. Meaning he wants to get away with the very least amount that he can. Chazal saw he doesn't want to do this anyway, so we want him to keep the mitzvah, because like I told you before, midai raisa, it's only a mashahu. We're imposing a shir, so we're going to do, he's not happy about this because he's trying to make he's trying to make money. So we'll give him a break. Well, Abayi is saying, Abayi wants to give challah, he feels it's a nice mitzvah. And that's one approach. That was Rabbi Huda's approach. Not for this reason. The pasuk says you have to give an asina. You have to give it to him. It has to be something which has meaning. I say, do the challah in a way. It should be given to the kohen in the optimal state of his kohuna. Optimal state of his kohuna means the kohen star. But the point of it is that you want to make sure that it's a nice matana. The more fair zois. So on Nachdom, we saw some Aruba, you have a baker, he has a large amount of dough. So when you give 1/48th of a large amount, Yeshua Kadei Matan Lekoin, that's a good gift. Baal Abayis, he saw some Aruba, Baal Abayis, it'll just be 5 pounds. So 5 pounds and to give 1/24th, if you're only going to give 1/48th, then that won't be a Nisina Chashuva. Eba Kadei Matan Lekoin, and therefore, they made it a larger share. Just kind of giving a little bit of a thought process into why Chazal changed the share one from the other. They speak out on the bottom that there's a Rosh Cirilo that says he counts the number of words, and there's 24 words in the pasuk. I don't get into that stuff. Chasninon, Frank the Gemara, Sambol Kasha, Ha'isa Yisla'atzma, a person makes an Isa for himself. Ha'isa Mishalimna, he makes a party for his son. He gives in either case, he has to give on 1/24th, but if he's going to make a big party, so 1/40th would be a significant amount. So why did Chazal require him to give 1/24th? So my answer is, the obvious answer, loy plug. Shall a lack like basis of bias. We're not going to make a distinction. Loy plug. Hasninon, we have the opposite side. That Haisha she also limka bashok, that a woman who's making to sell in the marketplace, she also has the same share as a major baker, and it's 1/48. Why is she's not making that much? What do I care if she's selling it? It's gonna be a small amount. So the Gemara says Bashashi also Levesa. Eino yofa b'isasa. She's generous with her dough when she's making for a household. Shashi also lim kubashok when she's making to sell. Eino ro'a b'isasa. Then she's stingy. So therefore they let her take off 1/48. According to Rabbi Yehuda, all who make dough to sell are treated the same. We can answer the question to the sages too. All who make dough to sell are treated the same. This will be based on the principle stated above, not differentiating between similar cases. Just as we answered there that the sages established 1/24 across the board, so too, when it comes to people selling challahs, we make the same rule across the board. Okay, Amar Rebbe, Masisim b'limudas liyus mafreshes, echa me'asrim rabba. So now this rule, that if somebody goes ahead and becomes tummy by accident, that we go ahead and we allow, to take off 1/48, that's only if normally, all the rest of the year, she's taking off 1/24. So if she normally is behaving properly, and this one time she has tumah, we make off of her. But if she always is a chaleria, she's never taking off 1/24 the way she's supposed to. She's always doing 1/48. She's being over on the takana of chazal. In that case, if she becomes tumah, we're not going to give her the leniency of the 1/48. We're going to say you have to take off 1/24. That's an obvious question here, right? What's the obvious question? Anybody want to try besides David? The obvious question is, if she doesn't listen to Chazal, so what's going to make her listen to Chazal here either, right? What's the sense of this? This doesn't make any sense. She doesn't take off 1/24 a whole year round. Now she's going to go ahead and she's going to become Tomei. We're going to say, oh, guess what? You can't take off 1/48 because you don't take off 1/24 the rest of the year. So you have to take off 1/24 now. She's going to look at you and say, well, guess what? I'm not going to listen to you now, just like I didn't listen to you the rest of the year. What are we accomplishing? So the Gra and the footnotes over here, this is 23B. Go to 23B here. Let's take a look at the Gra here. No, it's not that. It's not the Gra. Sorry. Where does it say it here? Somebody asked this, Kasha. I saw it brought down. Second. In the Hebrew, it's footnote 16.
In footnote 18, the second paragraph, says that it brings that down. What did they accomplish? And they bring down a beer of Chaim Kanievsky.
There you go. He says the Gemara is not promulgating a new rabbinic penalty. In other words, we're not saying, okay, you don't do it right the whole year round, so therefore we're going to give you a knas to make you do 1/24. That's not what's going on over here, because she wouldn't listen to that anyway. But he's explaining that the Chachamim did not extend their heter, the leniency, right? They do not extend the leniency allowing you to take off a smaller percentage of challah. If such an individual were to ask us how much challah she should separate, we would tell her to take off 1/24. Okay, it's a little shrewder, you know. It's not the most satisfying answer. Al kaponim, that's what it says. And that's where we're going to stop tonight, Ezus Hashem. Avram Schwartz will please take over tomorrow at this point. Good to walk, everybody.
Square off.
Cold toes.
When are you back, Slavy?